I'm Kazuya, and welcome to another scintillatingly tantalizing episode of The Bald and the Beautiful.
Featuring also me, Trixie Mattel, who's in the room. Thank you very much.
At the board, at the mothership.
I am at the board. And we have sound effects now.
Woo!
We got college rock. Trixie. We got... when something creepy happens. And there's plenty creepy happening because today we have our very first guest on our second episode of our podcast, The Bald and the Beautiful.
That's right.
Somebody so gorgeous and influential who knows both of us very personally.
Very personally, very deep down.
Someone really great. Somebody who's really perfect. A little better than you. She came from China.
China. She came from China.
I know a little bit about China. I went to the doctor. I got a virus from a China. Took a cream. Cleared it right up.
Oh, I hate that. It's really good, but I hate it.
It's kind of good, right?
It is really good.
I've been working on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell.
It's so close.
It is gross.
It's sad.
It's sad and awful. It's gutted and rotted.
12 more years.
Condoleezza, use a skeezer. This is someone who is not bald.
Not at all bald, but they are beautiful.
Beautiful.
No, I did try the bald during COVID.
What are you talking about?
That's right.
I shaved my
head. Oh, she shaved her head.
I shaved my head bald.
Well, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage of the complex multi-talents of the only dog seizure medication drag queen extraordinaire professionnelle, phenobarbital.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Not me trying to bring you on with laughter, and instead it was trying to bring you on with cheering, and then it was laughter.
I mean, what better to...
Yeah.
And you were really last minute today. You were out shooting.
Geese.
Sorry.
Quail.
You're out hunting.
Quail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quail.
Yeah.
Quail.
You know, dinner.
Yeah. Speaking of beautiful, she was very beautiful in the studio today. We're doing headshots and promo looks for Miss Barbital.
I was talking to somebody on Grindr, and they were talking about, they said, we're not hunters either. We just go once a year. And I said, no, that's hunting. Hunting is going hunting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, if you go once a year, you're not a hunter.
By the way, that's apparently me trying to get laid. You like hunting? You have a shoot gun?
Who are you hunting on Grindr with?
Girl, I got stuff going on. I got stuff going on.
The gays in West Hollywood, they'll try anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dicks in the ass, not worth it anymore. Yeah. They want a musket.
Exactly.
They want a colonial musket.
What's the thing where they shoot the skeet shooting.
Oh, like the clay pigeons.
The clay pigeons in my ass.
Yeah.
You're from the country. You must.
Uh huh. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, girl. So, Fina, you're a makeup and beauty professional.
I am.
Yes.
I worked for MAC Cosmetics for 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah. 13 years.
It was a lot. I also, in between, I worked for many other companies, but MAC was the main.
You know, I still have that pout lip brush.
Yes.
She gave me a lip brush about 15 years ago. Still got it.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Pout. Yeah. Brushes, it's your own destiny. There's that sugar pill lip brush that I use for my nose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amy was like, that's a lip brush. I'm like, no.
Oh yeah,
one line.
Trace
the
white line.
Yeah,
it's a broad stroke.
It's funny. A lot of people do white lines under the nose. You do it right on top. Cocaine.
But
she's killing it, folks. She's really just letting him have it today.
Who wrote that?
She said, you live right by the Laugh Factory. You'd think that it would rub off on you, but it's
half a block away.
Yeah,
you could go do a set there.
I did
when I was getting ready for Grown Up, I went and did little gigs, and I was in full drag at these comedy clubs backstage, and there was like normal famous LA comedians being like, so just starting out? I'm like, no, I'm touring 1,000 seat venues starting next week. Are you just starting out?
Yeah, take that, Mike.
There was this one show where I walked on stage and I was like, oh, I'm sure you guys have had a long night, because you know the straight comedians hoodies,
yeah.
Adult straight male
dirty
comedians.
Jeans.
Oh yeah, skinny hoodies. Jeans, yeah. Hoodies,
dirty jeans,
bourbon,
dirty jeans, dirty and then jeans. The girls are in the beautiful hair and makeup, and then the men are just fucking
bottom of the
just
barrel,
pig shit.
Bottom of the barrel, yeah, pig shit, clay pigeons.
Well, this show's called The Bald and the Beautiful, and I'm excited to have you on because you're a real life beauty professional.
Yeah.
Will I try?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Was that your first cosmetic? Was it your first like beauty industry job?
It absolutely was. I was 18 years old.
That's a hard job to get at 18.
Oh, let me tell you the bumpiest road to get there. I used to like skulk around the counter in like dirty, you know, black eyeliner. And one of the women gave me an application. She's like, fill it out, bring it back. We'll see what happens. I did, and I got hired to be on the freelance team. And I don't think that they really liked me at first because I never got booked.
Oh.
So you have to get booked and they send you out to different counters to freelance, as you know, but I didn't get booked right away. Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of, you know, transform myself. I went to my interview wearing jeans. I interviewed in jeans and like, it was my first job interview in my whole life.
Mm.
And the, I'll never forget Gerard Brulé, who was the GM or whatever, sat on the other side of the desk. When he sat down, he didn't get shorter. And then one of the questions was, he was so big and tall. He was a big, tall.
Oh, I was like,
think about it. It's
mine. Oh, the wall's closing in. Like, yeah, I don't know why that took me to like a full Alice in Wonderland. So like
he sat down.
Not screaming.
So he sat down. He didn't get any shorter. He's a big, huge man. And he asked me, what do you think a professional makeup artist would wear to work? And I did not, it didn't click in my head that I wasn't dressed
properly. That he was reading you. He was reading you.
Read
me. Oh my God.
That is, I think that's cruel.
Well, I believe the verbiage they use at that company was image and like being fashion forward.
Yeah.
It was like a pro way of saying you dress like shit.
At that point, it was like, you can wear whatever you want as long as it's black and all your bits are covered.
Oh,
but I still got the job.
Shit. You still got the job.
I still got the job.
Wow.
Lord knows how.
Damn.
But, you know, that's from there, it just kind of, you know, screwballed and
snowballed.
I moved to Boston a year later.
Yeah.
And started working more regularly. Mm-hmm. And now I depressingly do drag.
Were you doing drag at the time?
Yes.
Because if you've been doing makeup since you were 18, you've been doing makeup about what, 15 years?
I'm 36.
You do the math.
We're just going to put those numbers out there for people.
I really just 21 years. Number.
21 also, years. But I also, mind you, I started dressing in drag in high school at 16.
Tell them about the hairnet or the snood.
Oh my God, the snood, of course. So I also had long hair, shoulder length.
Dye black.
Platinum hair at the time. Because my friend, I had this trans boy who didn't go to my high school, but would sometimes come to school with me. Has that ever happened? Did that ever happen with you?
No.
Wait a minute.
No.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Companions. Wait a minute.
Yes.
There was just a young man going to school with you, and you said, this is my young ward. Hello.
He would dress like Kurt Cobain, and I would dress up like Courtney Love.
Oh.
I'm talking a little baby doll dress.
Okay.
My curly, messy blonde hair, smudged eyeliner. This is when I would get like makeup from like Halloween makeup.
Yeah.
You had the white foundation.
Throw compacts the black at your teachers.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
I wish. But that was like the beginning of the end.
Well, we didn't really introduce you correctly. You're one of those drag queens. I mean, before you moved to Los Angeles, especially on the East Coast, everybody knew you. You booked all the shows, you booked all the girls. You unfortunately are responsible for the career of this piece of shit to our left.
Oh, I can't take responsibility for that.
When you guys first started doing drag together, did you book her? Were you the one in charge?
No, it was both.
We were, because she was in the like, what would you call it? You were in like the scene.
The weekend shows. I worked at all like the major clubs and bars.
Yes. Yeah, I never did that. I was in the hooker bar, and then she did all the nightclubs as well as the hooker bar.
And then we both worked at Jocks.
Yeah.
But you did Perestroika.
Yeah.
And then they liked how kooky you were, so they put you on the weekends. I hate that word, kooky.
Yeah. She's so kooky.
Yeah.
Especially by today's standards. We're talking like 10 years ago. Kooky was like you did a song that wasn't top 40.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is like 2006.
Yeah, this is 2006.
We met in 2005, 6.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At a Boston Market.
I was in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. She's 36. I'm 38.
Boston's a huge city. I mean, did you guys feel?
No, it's tiny.
It's a tiny city.
It's tiny.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's teeny, so, tiny. Yeah,
very small city.
Super small.
Man-made. Man-made.
Man-made. Yeah. Boston Con.
But I mean, like, you guys are both really famous. Even without TV, you both were pretty famous in Boston, right?
No, she was. So, no, she was. She was like, if she went out to any gay night, everybody knew her.
It was, yeah.
Nobody knew me. I was a troll.
a goon and a goblin. And she was getting free drinks and being the life of the party. And I was just a troll.
Nuh-uh.
Swear to God.
That's
true.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until Drag Race.
Until Drag Race.
Until Drag Race.
And then it was a
Nobody
literal.
Knew who I was.
It was a literal flip.
Nobody knew who I was. Nobody
okay,
bought
Okay, because
in.
I remember when we were on Drag Race together for the first time, you were like the one person that nobody had figured out was on Drag Race.
On Reddit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I was a nobody.
Because me and Miss Fame were the only like semi-social media notable. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was next level.
Yeah.
But I think a lot, this was back when people didn't follow drag queens unless they were on Drag Race. And so you could just disappear for, by the way, just goes to show you how easily a young woman who's a prostitute like you could get murdered.
Yeah.
You disappeared from social media for a month and no one noticed.
Nobody noticed.
There was no social
media. You weren't
media
at the gigs and no one noticed.
Nobody noticed. I had 300 followers. 300 followers.
Yeah. I didn't get Instagram until 2012.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I was one of the last ones to the game. That's why everybody else that got on early bought their followers and you know had that big like, you know, turn up and I was late to the game and it wasn't until I started posting pictures of you guys' assholes that I started getting more followers.
Woo.
I just reached 13,000, so I'll make sure I tag you guys. Yeah. You know, you might get
13,000.
13,000.
That's a lot.
Not a single one bought.
Not a single one. 13,000 homegrown.
Homegrown. And you know what?
Homeblown.
It's good to have 13,000 people who follow you because they want to watch you rather than
a bunch of Russian bots.
Yeah.
Scams and schemes.
Scams and schemes.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to that either. So if you are a Russian bot and you're looking to follow someone, I'm scamming and scheming.
When you oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, no.
When you first started.
Sorry.
I fucking hate you. When you first started doing drag, who did you want to look like? Like, who was the fantasy? Who was the icon? Who was the goal?
The very first, it was Courtney Love, Madonna.
I think those are definitely both good starting places.
Courtney Love and Madonna. I mean, if it wasn't for Madonna, I wouldn't be doing drag.
Really?
Absolutely.
She came to your house. She said,
my earliest.
Are you available for a booking down at the Hamburger Mary's?
Well, you have to do the British accent.
Yeah. Are you available down at the Hamburger Mary's, Massachusetts, Boston? Are you available at the Hamburger Mary's, Sandwich, Massachusetts?
Plymouth.
We need you to come down to do a number at Marlborough.
Plymouth.
Come down to Marlborough.
Marlborough. Yes.
My first time ever in drag was a talent show in elementary school where I borrowed this girl's bell-bottom pants and I did Holiday in front of my like fourth grade class.
Did they live? Did they turn up?
I don't remember. Thank God I don't remember. later on, my mother recalls getting a phone call from my summer camp saying, hey, your son just came out of the closet to everybody by performing Vogue on a picnic table in the middle of a park.
Trailblazer. Rule breaker. Risk taker.
I have pictures of it with my sister.
Yeah. How old were you? So you came out of the, you stomped out of the closet and said, I'm gay.
I didn't even know. I didn't know what gay was. I knew I wanted to be Madonna.
Okay. That's gay enough.
That. I didn't know what gay was, but I knew I wanted to be Madonna. That, honestly, it's one thing to be like, I had a crush on a boy.
Right.
That's child's play.
Child's play.
Did you want to be Madonna or fucking not?
I wanted to be Madonna before Lady Gaga wanted to be Madonna.
There you go.
Well, to be fair to Lady Gaga, a lot of people rightfully want to be Madonna.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because Madonna, I mean, getting to be friends with you, I learned a lot more about Madonna. I learned a lot more about Madonna.
She's seizing.
I learned a lot more about Madonna than maybe I had ever thought. Because I explained to you, for somebody who's my age, my first memory of Madonna was her walking down that fake robe with the hat on. And I'm like, that's cool.
Wait, what?
Yeah, which is
Don't tell me.
That's your first memory of Madonna?
That or Die Another Day.
Oh my God.
I stayed up. I can remember staying up to watch the Justify My Love video on MTV and writhing around. So, it's a two-parter because it's Madonna, but it was also Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. So I would dress, I would pretend I was her in the gold bikini.
Mm-hmm.
This is so gay. The gold bikini. And then I would wrap a towel around my head like it was the ponytail.
Oh, yes.
And then the couch was Jabba the Hutt. And I would dance in my living room.
Did you cast the couch as Jabba the Hutt?
Did you ever fuck the couch? Did you ever get in under the cushions like you're being eaten? Oh my God, tell me you got under the cushions.
Do you guys ever switch roles?
Well, we had to know.
I can no longer fit the costume. Well, there was a video. Do you remember you were at my house and we were watching, you were showing me the performance of Madonna Vogue as she's Marie Antoinette?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd never seen it. And I was kind of blackout drunk. And I was like, do people know about this? Oh, does everyone know about this? And you're like, everyone knows about this.
I'm talking at 6 years old. With a fan, a hand fan in my room, practicing the tossing it in the air and catching it.
Wow.
Bag.
Yeah. I got onto her during the bedtime stories era. And I remember watching the behind the scenes making of the music video for Take a Bow and Bedtime Story. And she was so hot. Hot.
Bedtime.
She was
bedtime
fucking
story.
The TV.
Fucking the TV with the
bull rider.
What can I ask? Can I ask in the room? Mm. What is your favorite Madonna songs?
Only one Madonna song for the rest of your life you can listen to.
Oh, God. Vogue. Oh,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
It would have to be Vogue.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think mine is Beautiful Stranger.
I knew that.
I knew that was your favorite.
Song. Oh, yeah. It is a good song.
It's super 60s, which I love. And it's from Austin Powers.
And you could cover that song.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah,
she looked beautiful in that era too, with the buffons.
Ray of Light, right?
It was around Ray of Light, but she was, remember when Courtney Love threw the compact up at her? It was that the blue blouse with the buffon hair.
Yes.
Oh!
Yes, Pooperella.
Oh, I love that hair. Yeah. She looks so hot.
Beautiful in that era.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Sexy. I miss the one thing I miss the most about Madonna is Madonna at the VMAs.
Oh, yeah.
Because we always knew the VMAs, I looked forward to every year. She always gave it to you at the VMAs.
She always came through.
Brittany and Christina.
Yeah, kissing them.
Yeah.
Kissing up on the girls.
One of the probably the most iconic moments of the VMAs.
Well, when I watched the Truth or Dare documentary, which I hadn't seen until Fina. Well, when we
Same.
Did. Yeah.
I hadn't seen it either.
So when we did Moving Parts, the director and the producer, they were like, it'll have elements of Truth or Dare. You should watch that so you know what it is. And then Fina, I watched. Did we watch it together? Watch on tour.
Yes.
Because Vina toured with me on Moving Parts, and then she toured with you on Help Me, I'm Dying.
And then we watched it on there. Yeah. We watched it, yeah.
And I didn't know at the time how it was even a conversation for a woman like her to have to explain herself doing numbers that are almost like closer to musical theater. Mm-hmm. Because she was doing things that I guess maybe women singers hadn't really done. Like the whole conversation about her masturbating on stage and venues asking her not to.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, sadly, that probably still could happen today. But like, it never occurred to me that like when I saw Britney doing stuff like that when I was a kid, that came from something. Yeah. Britney saw a Madonna concert once in her life.
Yeah. You think the Vatican could keep me from rubbing my gash live?
I don't think they'd try. Because they need proof that the devil exists to show the people that the lot exists. That you're biting his blood.
I'm biting his blood. I'm biting his blood. I'm soaked in the solution. I'm dipped in the divine.
How come you think Madonna has never done a, I know she has a skincare. Isn't it surprising she never did like a MAC collection or something?
She actually did. So in 1990, her Blonde Ambition tour, they created the color Russian Red for Madonna and,
really?
And Face and Body Foundation was created for her dancers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that Russian Red.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
And in her, the girly show, she wore Viva Glam 1 and Russian Red.
Interesting.
Those were her colors.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite lipstick?
Red and Wild. That's a theme.
That's a theme. Favorite
lipstick. You can only wear one color lipstick for the rest of your life.
I mean, I stopped wearing red so much because it was your thing.
Mm-hmm.
It became your thing.
She did invent red lipstick.
I did invent red lipstick.
I would say Russian red, but I don't know. I feel like...
Really? I feel like you're the queen of the nude.
Yeah. Now I feel like it's a flesh pot.
Mm.
Flesh pot or bauble?
Bauble. Bauble's hot. We're very proud of it. Sold out. By the way, I don't know what any of them do, so I'm just picking them.
that's the way to do it.
Can I ask, when you started doing makeup, when you started doing drag then, so when you saw Madonna and Courtney, what elements of that were you pulling first? Like the red lip, because they both had white skin.
So back in about 2006, a friend of ours worked at Shu Uemura in Boston.
Oh my God, Tavi de la Rosa.
Yes, go.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Lisa Newcar.
Lisa Newcar.
Lisa Newcar, a great drag name.
The best.
Yeah.
Just so good. Lisa New. By the way, didn't get it when you guys told it to me at first.
It's a sleeper hit. 3 years.
It's a sleeper hit.
I didn't get it for 3 years.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Lisa Newcar worked at Shuumura, which is a makeup company, Japanese, mm-hmm. and Madonna's then makeup artist, Gina Brooke, worked with Shuumura. She was their color designer. Mm-hmm. And so she, when Madonna was in town, she came in to do a class at the store.
Wow.
So I met Gina Brooke. It was incredible. It's like meeting your idols.
Oh
like,
my God. And how old were you?
Oh God. I was like early 20s.
I mean, you're still young enough that meeting somebody like that can just shake you to your skeleton. And you know what I mean?
It was unbelievable. It was like being 1 degree separation from the person. Right. So meeting her, she taught, like she did a makeup in front of us and it was beautiful and she was so sweet. And she literally, this is what led me to wearing no makeup back then.
Oh yeah.
I thought you Roll could not tapes. Tell me.
Were you a no makeup girl?
For 6 years, you couldn't tell me I wasn't Madonna.
She had a pussy.
A little background on Fina. Your look is pretty much like, I'd say it's like fish, but showgirl. But because of COVID with the mask, you've been doing the drag eye makeup, sis.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause we can't go paint down. I paint up.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
but she would, I mean,
when they go low, we go high. Okay. Yeah. That's what Michelle Obama meant. She was talking about eye makeup.
I thought she was talking about my breasts. The nipples are facing down.
Not the nipples are facing down.
Mama, east and west. East and west.
Oh my God. So you were doing the drag shows at night and you were working at the makeup stores during the day, which is kind of like the dream combo.
It really was. And back then, this is before Drag Race really got kicking. So we were still working and making the money. Mm-hmm. And like, I think around when 2008 came and like the financial crash and I actually lost my job at Mac in 2008. I then started working for a couple of other brands here and there. And, you know, you do what you can.
Who did you work for?
I actually freelanced, I think twice or two or three times for Shuumura. It was a dream. Another time with Gina Brooke.
Fun.
Pout Cosmetics. I was a rep for Pout Cosmetics inside Victoria's Secret and Sephora.
Oh, wow.
And I was a sprayer for John Varvatos.
Oh, yes. Hey, try this. The Vince Camuto.
Try the John Varvatos. Yes. We got John Varvatos.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Camuto. Oh, yeah. And if you buy it, you get a free tote. And we do validate. We do. And my daughter got the Pink Friday.
Nicki Minaj.
I was a sprayer for the Britney perfume when it first came out.
Was it Curious?
Yes.
Curious was beautiful.
I came in the nude, a nude cat suit with the rhinestones.
Wait a minute. No, you didn't.
In a Macy's. Shut I'm not joking.
The fuck you up. Did this?
No, it was a Filene's. Yes, it was a Filene's before Filene's went
Wait a minute. Mm. You were in a nude cat suit?
I was much smaller.
At the Macy's?
Remember how skinny I was?
She was skinny. She was
Were
my
you in
size.
Drag?
Yes.
And you were spraying people with perfume?
Yes.
You should have seen this bitch. She would be like, she was skinny mini, no makeup. Couldn't tell her she didn't have XX chromosomes.
Yeah. Oh, mama.
Couldn't tell
Why didn't
her.
You wear
just,
makeup?
Just a little, like a wing liner, a white. Yeah. I wore my real brow. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you wear makeup? Because she had a uterus that was sitting underneath a vulva
that was on top of two nipples
vagina.
Facing the ground.
She was
Gina
a
told me I didn't
woman.
Have to.
Yeah, really? She was a woman. There's you have to we got to post, I don't know if there's somewhere to post this. We got to post a picture of you from I remember there's a flyer where you had your real hair snatched up. Speaking of which, she used to do this thing that I was so jealous of because she has this full, thick, lovely blonde head of hair. And I used to look at how she would snatch up the front into this gorgeous blonde
Longingly.
Wig. And I was like, I tried to do it one day. Three hairs.
I got a picture.
I remember.
Three hairs.
Yeah, she sent me a picture today.
Okay, everybody out there bald, you need to ruminate on that and we will be right back.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
And we're back with Vina Barbatol, Trix Mattel. I'm Katya. Now tell me about this, the head snatch, the hair snatch. Because you have
she's got a hairline that's in the right place.
Yeah, and lace front technology
it was years away. Years away.
Because the only girls who had the good hairlines were the ones who grew out their real hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was flawless.
It was taught to me because Destiny, my roommate, this incredibly gorgeous trans woman who is a performer.
She has nice long hair.
She showed me.
Is she Asian?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I think I met her.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
She's like more short.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's incredible.
You could not.
She was the diva of Boston.
Yeah. The dancing diva.
See, when you have a friend that beautiful, though, in drag, doesn't it at least take the pressure off?
No one wanted to go after her.
No. You don't understand. You don't understand the boiling resentment, the pressure.
The goof clowns that we were.
Just goons.
You're like, we didn't want to do comedy. Yeah.
We had to.
You were trying to come out and loosen up my buttons.
Yes!
And people were like, Literally.
She, on Friday night, so Fina and I never worked together at Jocks, hardly ever. The only time when we were vibing was when Destiny called out and one of us was replacing her. And then we could really vibe.
Fierce.
Or we had our own show, Cream of Laughter.
Yeah, Cream of Laughter on Wednesday nights. But so if you're on a weekend performing
Cream of Laughter?
It's a long story.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
That's it.
The show was called Cream of Laughter.
The Cream like of Laughter. Soup. Like Cream of Wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I get it.
It's just dumb.
No, I know, but listen.
That's the point.
But every drag show, though, sometimes you inherit those drag shows and you don't think about who named it because that's just the name
of it.
We named it.
Yeah, we named it.
Come to my party. It's called Dancing with the Dollies brunch. And you're like, who named that?
Bubbly brunch.
I had one show, my 1 month show where I got to book it. And I just always book Shay and Kim. And it was called, I think it was called Dream House. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and then the vibe was always like a dollhouse with, because you know, back then too, the flyer making technology was not what it was. And I love Jocks, but every time I go to Boston, some of those flyers, they are relics. It is an oil painting of someone.
Yeah.
And it's 20 fonts, 50 different size pictures.
Yeah. It's like the pageant promos.
Yeah, it never tells you nothing.
They never advertise because all of their stuff was word of mouth.
Did they ever have a website? Oh, finally. Oh, I think towards the end,
it was...
Wait, are they closed permanently?
I don't know. They're shut down right now.
That's not shade. I'm just, you know...
No,
bars are dropping like flies.
I think their days are numbered.
Machine is closed.
Oh,
for good.
Yeah.
That's done.
Yeah, RIP. But Jocks was a destination. We had some times.
Oh, God.
After the show, the post-show wiggle.
Yeah.
Well, you really start to like learn how to do drag once it's your bar and you're comfortable to do numbers you know might not work.
I say Wednesday nights, I loved because no one would show up.
Nobody.
We would still have to perform.
Yeah.
So that's where I really learned to hone in on the microphone stand and that whole biz.
Yeah.
I would just stand on the stage with the microphone and the prop mic. And the lips, that's where I learned how to do the concert realness.
How have you adapted your look as...
I feel like we've all...
I just put on a baby filter.
God,
I just did the baby filter.
She'll find a new filter every other week.
I think you wear more makeup nowadays for sure.
Well, no, I feel like back in the day you were the colors.
I used to do top and bottom lashes, feather lashes, yeah. color contacts.
Huge. Ghost white.
Ghost
skin.
White, no contour.
Well, we all wore ghost white.
Yeah, that's true.
What's, can I ask that? I mean, I think I missed that like age-wise. How come every drag queen before a certain point just had a white face?
I don't know.
Social Instagram.
We didn't have that.
We didn't have any of that when we were growing up.
We weren't posting on Instagram.
There are no videos or photos of us like way back in the day that can really document how horrible we looked.
I looked fucking rotted. At 38 years old, I feel like I'm gorgeous.
I'm going to show you a picture a little bit of me and Jujubee from back in Western Mass when we were like 18 years old.
That's right, because you guys did shows with Jujubee.
She's known her for longer. Like, what, 20 years?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because she was the first, like, Boston famous drag queen.
Yes.
She got us all rabid.
Still is.
She got the girls rabid.
Really?
She
sure
yeah.
Because you guys saw this girl just be, like, a superstar overnight. And you're like, yeah.
Fuck
and no offense to her. That mall clothes bitch.
Yeah.
Overnight successful. Were you guys like, oh, my God.
It was not overnight. Because really? I remember we were doing the viewing parties at Machine and no one would come. And then the last night we all, a bunch of us girls went to New York City for the finale where they crowned Tyra. And that was the one night that anybody went to Machine for the viewing party.
And think about it. This is season two.
No one cared.
What year
Nobody
was that?
Cared.
2010.
Yeah, I think the show started around 2008 or 9.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody cared about the show. We only, even at the first season.
That's right. Nobody did care.
I didn't care about it.
But season one, we had to watch it on the internet.
On the internet.
Nobody had logo.
Because I was doing drag like maybe 2 years before it started. Maybe a year. I never was in the true wild, wild west where like no one had seen drag queens on television. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. By the time I was 21, like I could go see Bebe Zaharbonet at a club.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. See, we were like, we had been doing it for years already. And like, I remember being skeptical about it and thinking it was kind of lame when it came out. And then I remember Diamond Dunhill was nuts about getting a whole campaign because you had to get on the first season, you had to drum up all this support.
Really?
It's like you had to bring
a voting system.
Yeah, it was very strange and very desperate.
It seems like the window of opportunity to get on the show in a reasonable way has closed.
Really?
It seems like now, like I've tried out almost every single year.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason.
There really isn't.
And I don't care. And I'm not one of those people that cares.
I do.
Well, I don't hold a grudge.
Some
girls hold a grudge.
Yeah. And casting is in many ways amorphous and rhyme and reasonless.
Yeah, exactly.
So in theater school, at least, they told us, like, it's not your job to decide whether or not you're getting it. It's your job to just show up, do a wiggle, and leave.
And I have a very early, early learned lesson about casting. My parents sent me to a summer camp for acting.
Okay.
Which was just run by my school. And we put on Charlotte's Web. Now, I know by looking at me, you're like,
the spider.
Clearly you were the, but that was the role I wanted.
That's not fair. I thought you were the barn.
The true role that I wanted.
What role did you get?
Well, it's not big.
I was not cast as
what would an animal. Charlotte.
She said, "You're not even ugly enough to be an animal."
The spider.
I was not cast as the pig. I was cast as the fatter pig at the end
the
of the book.
The one who wins the blue ribbon.
Who wins the blue ribbon for being the fattest pig?
Are you familiar with E.B. White's Charlotte's Web?
I am not.
He goes to the fair finally at the end, and the big, big fat pig.
Spoiler alert.
The blue ribbon instead of him, and then Charlotte dies.
And that was the
ding dong.
That was the role I was given as the bigger, and this little fucking blonde fucking got the role of
what was her
Wilbur.
Name?
I don't remember.
Government last name her. Name.
Yeah. What was her social?
010-656-42 Butter Cookie Way. Get her. What was that thing? Docked.
Doxed.
We'll go to doxter.
Yes, dox her.
This bitch has been doxed.
I've been doxed. Yeah, if you want to know where we record, look it up and come kill me. My front door just rang while we were doing this, and I was like, I don't care what it is. Can't answer it.
No.
Murder.
Mm-hmm. Murder. Mutilated.
Yeah. But that experience led me to not feel bitter.
Were you, may I ask you a sensitive question?
What?
Were you,
I was a big kid.
You were a big kid.
I was a big fat kid.
Because what? Was she a great big fat kid? If you want to hear from great big fat kids, stay with us. We'll be right back. And we're back. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We're here with Fina Barbershall for the blonde,
Fina.
The blonde bowl cuts.
Well, I am blonde.
You are blonde. I still to this day covet. I covet your full head of thick, luscious, natural hair.
I took quite a risk when I shaved it off.
Did you really think it just wasn't going to grow back?
Sometimes it doesn't.
Come on, give me a break. What are you talking about?
Some people, it doesn't.
Oh, come on.
Not from shaving.
Not from shaving. It grows back thicker. 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 Also, I'm going to expose you because you've long maintained, for as long as I've known you, a rigorous, thorough, deep, and vicious face care skin routine.
Oh, yeah.
She has. Her skin is fantastic.
She uses one of those roller balls with the pins on it. What kind of skin do you have?
I have combination.
And what's your favorite type of skin products?
Well, I know I started using skincare when I was 18.
Really?
Like serums when I worked at Filene's. I started using serums and creams and all sorts of... I like trying new things. I know every 6 months your skin changes. It gets used to whatever you're using.
For some of us, it gets worse.
Why are you looking at me?
I'll never forget.
Why are you looking at me?
The whole time on tour, I'm trying to switch Katya's Dawn out for like a real.
She's got me on an orange thing that I like.
The one that I got you on from Lancome, the orange face.
You like that?
No, I use it after the Dawn.
I don't like it.
I use it after the Dawn, but
it's an oil cleanser.
I don't like the smell. It foams.
It foams.
I have such a process. It's a makeup wipe, and then it's a cleanser.
Are you talking about getting out of drag?
I'm already.
Yeah, but the skincare every day, I don't feel like I'm fully, I can't leave the house without a shower.
Wait. But that's different. Showering is different.
Even when we're on tour, though, I never felt like I couldn't, I feel like when I'm on tour, it's a work. I can't start my work day unless I shower. If I can't work around either of you and I smell like, I'm sorry, but fat people, we have folds, we have runoff, creases.
Not runoff. Runoff? Running off where?
Go to places you cannot return from.
I got to clean out my gutters.
So seriously.
Well, when I was on tour with Fina, she got me turned on to the Gold Bond medicated powder. And she said, she had me put it in my tucking panties for my quote unquote, what's gone sour. My what's gone sour.
I just told
because
someone.
Because she was handling my wet panties so often. Yes. She was like, this has to stop.
I had to put it in. I started using it during the summer at Jocks, and
it absorbs
when you get a bite of the biscuit.
I just told someone the story about the flouring your chicken.
Oh yeah, I would stand there in my dressing room with the door open, just to make sure everyone could see me, and I would say, "I'm gonna flour my chicken now," and I would dump it on my long, long pubes, and just
I thought
dump
you were gonna say
it.
Something else.
Dump so much powder on
and
the
just
dick.
Like in the wiggle it around,
and like wiggle it around, like rubbing it on my butt naked.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And Fina and Brandon, my opener, would be like, just stop. Oh, God, then I kind of got over. I started using Bare Minerals. Then I would just, I would do like a medium beige Bare Minerals all over the balls, and even things out. But the problem was with the Bare Minerals, I would get a flashback. So when I was taking my dick pics, it would photograph lighter.
Well, that's why you got to go in with the bronze one. All that mica. I mean, I think that's the best hand-me-down tip that I can say that I introduced you to the NYX gel liners.
The NYX
the black
gel
and the white,
liners.
Which have changed your makeup game.
Forever. They're the best.
Forever.
I think they're discontinued right now.
They tried to change it into something else. I think it's a mousse now. But
NYX Cosmetics, if you're listening, if you don't bring that product back,
we need to.
I'm
going to
kill myself.
I'm on my last white jar.
Yeah,
and had like 30 last year. So that's how often I go through them.
We have a challenge for you, NYX.
Mm-hmm. I have a challenge for you.
Yes, you do.
Can I ask, as a veteran woman of drag, how many years have you been doing drag?
Like 20? Well, 16, 36, 20 years, mama.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. 20 yeah. years.
20. 18 years professionally.
Okay.
18 years old, I got my first gig at a nightclub.
Is that yeah. Divas?
Yes, it was Divas Nightclub, mm-hmm. which is closed, but I did Jerry Halliwell's Bag It Up.
Wow.
Bag It Up.
Yeah. Can I ask, what is your tip for the new girls?
Yeah, tell us, as a drag veteran.
Or what could you tell yourself as a baby drag queen? Like, you know how it's new
Did
drag
you just
queens?
Pull out a picture of her as a child on the runway and just ask her, what's your trauma? Who would you say to little baby
it's
Fina?
It's a picture of Who's John that Candy. Ghost in the it's background. A picture of John Candy now. What would you say to little Fina?
Planes, Trains.
Oh my God. Because you know, when you first start doing drag, there's so many things you think you're supposed to be doing. And looking back, you're like, you are an idiot.
Yeah.
I used to not even brush wigs. I used to wear it until it was gross, and then it became a bottom wig, and then it became a bump, and that's it. Yeah. I didn't know how to brush wigs.
Yeah. I know how to do anything. I know how to safety pin them together.
Yeah. Well, that was like the big thing back in the day. It was just like putting one on top of the other.
Yeah, because that's $80.
$80. Yeah. That's a lot of money. Yeah. And those wigs had a short lifespan.
But 2 months.
Before they were gross.
Yeah. But when I went for that time period, I thought I was Madonna. Mm-hmm. I would come in and they would never have the exact wig. So we'd have to get something. And that's where I taught myself how to style a wig to be how I wanted it to look like a character. Yeah. So like when she had like the Farrah Fawcett, I had to try all these wigs and like cut it. And Destiny was a hairstylist. She showed me a lot of like, so I kind of had to, that's where I started. And then, you know, steamrolled into.
Yeah. And then the Bird's Nest, I don't know if anybody's purchased the book, Trixie and Katya's Guide to Modern Womanhood, but you better believe that all the hairstyles in that book were styled by Fina Bartel.
Oh, yeah. And God, how many episodes of did you do
so
the hair for?
So many.
For Katya?
Most of them.
Probably at least 30.
I think whenever I started coming, I think in 2017 is when I started.
Because you kind of became like Handmaid's Tale backstage on because you would watch for flyaways. Yeah. You would do most of your wigs on the spot.
What happened was when we first moved here and I didn't have like a job or a gig, she just had wigs and I was like, let me play with these.
Yeah.
And I just like, you know, teased and styled a bunch of them and then it kind of turned into a thing.
You've gotten really good at it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
When you first started?
I'd like to think so.
All the times I've ever looked the best has always been by her. You know,
it's always so fun because, you know, with you, it's, you know, a little bit of an inspiration from you and then it's really creative freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really let her kind of like
go for it. Yeah.
On tour, she and I would, I mean, like we would be a little bit like, it's five pins, not four Dolores. I mean, that's kind of how.
Yeah.
Because she would just be smoothing a wig and I would be like, okay, but I would do it this way. And like this, literally the same thing.
Oh, yeah. God.
Same thing.
Yeah. There was one wig that you had on tour that I think we tried fixing every day for like 3 months.
Was it like the main wig?
It was the first wig, the opening.
For moving parts.
The opening wig.
Yeah.
And it was like, we tried fixing it like every night. And there was one time you were like yelling at the wig in the mirror. And I was like, just tell me I did it horribly. Just tell me. And she's like, no, I'm mad at the wig, not you.
Like
a good deflection.
Yeah. As I'm cutting.
Yeah. Her inner thigh just like.
You know what I feel like all the time in the movie Carrie, the remake, Julianne Moore using a seam ripper, stabbing it to her thigh, crying and going, these are godless times.
Was she your assistant before me?
Julianne Moore? Yes, she was. Because I touring with me is kind of difficult sometimes because I'll admit it. Usually have to make me think something was my idea for me to go along with it.
That's the best.
have to go, Trixie, I like this thing you said. And I go, oh, yes, I did say that. Let's do it. Versus if someone suggests it to me, I'm like, I don't know.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like I would buy things and put them at your makeup counter. I would put them in front of you. Mm-hmm. That's the trick.
I'm so glad I found this.
Yep.
I'm so glad I bought this. It's great.
When Brandon would do my records, he would be like, I love that idea you had for this. And I'd be like, ah, yes, that idea I had. Let's do it. She's like a fucking freak.
She's like the opposite.
I'm the opposite. She's lucky if I come to work, period.
Well, she also can't brush that wig. So anything is, you know, any hole's a goal. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
that's you also did you did a lot of the hair for Netflix. If you watch everything. Queens Who Like to Watch, yeah. there's a few episodes where you step in. Do you remember the episode where she and I have big hair and you step in and go, they're merging together?
She had to separate
us. Literally. God, the Mason Dixon.
By the way, I know we're probably running out of time. You also are really good at fake eyebrows.
Yes.
What's the secret?
Oh, the secret?
What is the secret?
She's been getting into the fake eyebrows. You clock her?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing it. Not today.
Mama, the secret is I've had to find the right product, Anastasia Beverly Hills. Their little tiny brow pencil. And what I do is individual hairs. You just got to find the way. Practice. Mm. And you can do them, you know, they don't have to be the same. They don't have to, you know.
No, because my eyebrows are not even cousins.
Yeah.
Like they're totally unrelated to each other.
It is about color.
Yeah.
The color matters.
Yeah.
And also the waxy consistency, powdering. It's a process.
Yeah.
I learned a lot actually from Layla McQueen.
Her brows are insane.
If you guys don't know, if you don't follow Layla McQueen on Instagram, those brows in or out of drag.
Yeah. In up close.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
In the sunlight.
Yeah. I grabbed her by the neck. I was like, you're going to draw those on me.
Yeah.
Even when she has, because she'll also match her color of her hair to her brows. Like, yeah. Perfectly.
Yeah. So good. I think she's the best drag makeup artist living right now.
I really do.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
100%. She's doing something. We're using her for Trixie Cosmetics coming up for something. I'm really excited because she's really amazing. Remember, you dye your hair a lot too. Do you remember? Okay. So when we were making Moving Parts, the film, and there were certain parts where Fina said really important things that we couldn't take out of chronology because this whore had different hair colors every 2 weeks.
And no one
told
me.
So Fina would be like, yeah, but we can't use it because suddenly she has pink hair.
No one told me.
Oh, continuity.
If they had said snacks, like if they had just used snacks.
Oh, that was right. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Oh my God.
Well, where do people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Fina Barbital and on Twitter at Fina Barbital. And I also just started my own Instagram for my wig.
Oh, fantastic.
For doing wigs for people.
Taking custom orders.
Oh, now,
I love New York. Now I'm up in custom orders.
Are you really?
I am.
I'm so happy about that.
I do not do your typical Marcel finger wave. That's not my zhuzh.
Yeah, go to
now. If you want a shitty bird's feeder,
you want an upside down building burning.
Yeah.
You want to.
How about the Eiffel Tower? Remember the Eiffel Tower?
Remember when you guys did the Christmas one with the
nativity scene in the hair?
Yeah. Are you a bird fan? You want sparrows, bird's nests, barn doors?
I have like a small handful of celebrity clients.
Have you done hair for besides us?
Oh God, well, I did Meatball.
Fun.
I've done Marta Bichu.
Fun.
My girl Miranda back home. Mm-hmm. Who else?
It's so nice when they're in LA because you don't have to mail them or crush them.
Victoria's Secret. I did one for her recently. Yeah, sent that all the way to UK. It took like 1,000 months.
Thank God.
Fierce. But it finally got there.
There was sort of a magic hour, not to be like okay boomer, but there was sort of a magic hour with drag where none of us were famous and no one cared about any of us.
I know.
And you could do anything. And you didn't have that much more ambition than Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the gigs.
It did get to the point in Boston where I was so popular that if I was on Grindr, everybody knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And I would go on a date and someone would say, well, I really like you, but I can't be referred to as Mr. Fina Barbital.
Like,
girl.
Get a grip.
Girl. Thank God for Craigslist.
You're like, I don't go by that name anymore. I go by Charlene.
It's Candy.
It's Candy.
Maybe Biden will bring back Craigslist.
What's the hair? Precious? Encounters. What did you call it? Precious?
Promise.
Candy Promise.
Well, thank you, Fina Barbital, for joining us on this day.
Absolutely.
Everybody follow at Fina Barbital on every single platform. You are so wonderful and we love you very much.
Thank you.
And goodbye.
And goodbye.
Bye. Today's episode is brought to you by Angie.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.